I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Welcome to Soul School, everybody. This is lesson 46, the story of how heathens and not Christians befriended my special needs son, or the context for hospitality. But before I get to that, I have a couple announcements. One is that my travel mugs are in, my special Spark My Muse travel mugs, and they are available for sponsors of the show who sponsor the show at $14.99. And I have just a couple of them left. If you would like one of these mugs, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse. Patreon is just like patron, but with an E. There have been a few people who've already snapped some of these up. They're very handy for commuters, and they're great for warm beverages, but you can also put water in them too, or cold beverages. And I thank you for everyone who's already made donations and said kind words and been tweeting. I've gotten a lot of new listeners. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for retweeting and writing reviews on iTunes. All those things really help. The financial piece really helps too, because these audio files get gigantic. The financial stuff helps because it's all out of pocket. I produce the show myself. I get the guests myself. It's 30 to 35 hours a week I put in to get this up for you. I really enjoy it, but it can be a hardship to produce and pay this out of pocket each week. The second announcement I have is kind of a save the date or keep this in the back of your mind type of thing. As I've been doing Soul School, this is the piece of Spark My Muse that is the personal piece. I love the guest interviews. I get so much out of having guests on the show. And that's the part that really invigorates me. I love bringing useful things to you and bringing on different guests that will spark your muse. But the Soul School is kind of for my core listeners who really enjoy getting a little extra, and it's where my personality comes out. What I've always thought would be so fun is to do sort of a Soul School field trip where we all do a getaway, just a small group of us, maybe only 10 at a time. What I'm planning to do, if there's enough interest, if you're interested, I want you to contact me directly. You can use this email, contact@sparkmymuse.com. If you're interested in doing a Soul School field trip, this will be a getaway. And what I have in mind, I have the place picked out. It would be good food, wine tastings. It will be little short Soul School episodes, if you will, where we're in a group talking about some of these topics of Soul School that come to mind, and we all talk about them in a way that builds fellowship and camaraderie. And there'll also be plenty of times in there for just reflection, taking a walk, getting some mental headspace back, some bandwidth back, and there'll be campfires and laughter and stories and fun. And this will just be a time to really just get away from regular life and regroup in a kind of deeper dive, but not taking ourselves super seriously kind of way. And what I hope to do by doing these Soul School field trips maybe a few times a year is create a space for doing something together that's meaningful and finding a tribe of sorts that wants to do these things together in a richer way. And if that interests you, I want you to just contact me directly and get put on a waiting list for this as I work out the details. This would be happening next year in 2017. And if there's enough interest, I will create two or three or four of these getaways. This would be something around $400 for two nights, and it will be a really fantastic time. I've been working with someone for the space and for the catering and all the good stuff. I spent some time as the manager of a wine tasting room, and if you don't like wine, you definitely don't have to participate in this part, but there can be a lot of fun doing wine tasting. I'd love that to be a part of it, doing wine pairings with some of the food and just enjoying each other and enjoying each other's company and talking about some of these things that resonate deeply with us. So if that interests you, I hope you'll contact me and let me know of your interest. And then maybe we can work something out and get together and get to know each other a little better. And this relates today to what I'm going to be talking about, the context for hospitality. It's Neil deGrasse who said that he believes, along with mathematics and English and social studies, that children should be taught empathy as a course in school. And I don't know that he put this down as well, but it seems like book knowledge can only take us so far. And I wonder if he also meant that empathy as a course should be a practicum where you actually practice it. Because empathy can typically only be gained by going through something first where you gain the ability to have a well of empathy. Sometimes you'll see that people who create cancer centers or foundations for people with certain diseases, they didn't come out of a vacuum. They came out of someone suffering and somebody in someone's family having died or suffered with the disease. And then a foundation is created or a 5K run is created or something like that for research for a disease. But it was because of that pain and suffering and agony that those things were created. It was out of this well of empathy that a context was created for hospitality or ministry or service or a special calling in the world to create something for others. And you may or may not know my story, but my oldest son, he's 16 at the moment, his name's Nathan, and he was born with some special needs. And we didn't know this about him. He was developing normally till he was about 2. And there were some quirks about him. I won't kid you. He did some odd things, but he really began to lose language. He had been developing normally, had walked at a normal time, or even early, you could say. He had talked at 7 months, which is a little bit earlier than his sister, who's 3 years younger than him. But all of a sudden, he stopped talking, and he started pointing at things, and then he started having these weird fits and temper tantrums. And we started sort of losing him into a dark world, and it was regressive autism. And he started losing motor coordination, and he started losing skills, and he started covering his ears, and he had a lot of sensory problems. Things that he touched seemed to hurt him. Sounds seemed to hurt his ears. And he became stranger and stranger, and he would have fits at the store, and we would try to deal with it. As first-time parents, we thought, this is really terrible twos. But of course, it wasn't just the terrible twos. He was having some really serious problems. And so we got him a ton of interventions. We put him in special school. We did a lot of physical therapy with him, with specialists. We did occupational therapy. We did speech therapy. We did many, many things to try to meet this head on. It was exhausting. And we had hoped that the church and the families at church would come alongside us, and the children at the church would be his friends. And it wasn't that anyone was really outright unkind. People were kind to us, in a general sense. And kids would sort of say, hey, buddy. And he was sort of a mascot. But no one really reached out to him as a friend at church. And he didn't really enjoy going to any kind of youth activities or kids activities because he didn't fit in. He just never fit in. And no one ever really was his close friend. And a woman once said to me, I can't force friends on my kid. I can't force him to be friends with someone he doesn't want to be friends with. And it really struck me what she said, because while it's true that you can't force your child to like someone they don't like, you can develop within them a sense of empathy and compassion for other people. And it really starts with the parent. But if the parent hasn't really suffered in those same ways, they just don't get it. What I found was that the church and the Christians at my church were not nearly as kind as the unchurched, the heathens, if you will. The parents and the kids that I found outside the church, those were the people that really received us. Those were the parents and the kids who really got it. And they reached out to us, and they became our closest friends. And they were the ones who became Nathan's buddies. Those were the kids we had over at our house who wanted to come to the birthday parties and that weren't embarrassed. Those kids weren't embarrassed to be with my child. So Nathan never got invited to the birthday parties of the Christian kids, but he did get invited to the heathen kids' birthday parties. It was because there was a context for hospitality with them. They weren't ashamed of him, and they weren't ashamed of themselves. And so it is out of a context for hospitality that we find our calling to be hospitable to others, and that we find our calling to have empathy for others. And that's how we can make a way for other people in the world. It's because there's already been a way made where we have found ourselves maybe in a lonely spot, or we've found ourselves in a needy spot, and we have found ourselves friendless, that we'll reach out to people who are also friendless or in the same sort of spot. Perhaps you've had a parent who has dementia or Alzheimer's, and only you get what that's like. Or perhaps you've been betrayed or left by your spouse, and only you know what that feels like. Then only you can really reach out to people who are in your same situation. And as you reach out in this context of hospitality, in this context of service that only you understand, you provide this special thing that only you can provide in the world. And your suffering is somehow worth it. It's somehow redeemed or changed or transformed into not just being suffering all alone by itself. It becomes something that we do together, and we take each other's burdens on, and it's not just suffering for suffering's sake. And so today on Soul School, I ask that you look over your life a little bit and look to see where some of your deepest hurts have been, or maybe your loneliest times or your most painful times, and look at them and see, what do you hope to have? Do you hope to have more friends? Do you hope to have someone to journey with you? Then it makes so much sense that that is what you realize your context is. And then you can reach out to the same sorts of people that are like you. And you can make a table for them, a table of hospitality, where you reach out to people who are like you, who are going through the same sorts of things. For our family, a lot of people don't know what it's like to have a special needs child, and they maybe get afraid to invite you over for dinner because they don't know what will happen. I don't have any hard feelings for anybody who is a little bit freaked out by our son Nathan. I know he can be weird. He's grown up a lot since then. He's not nearly as strange, but he sometimes does strange things. And I can see people thinking, I don't think we're going to have them over. He might do something strange. And we are totally fine having weirdos at our house, because that's how we roll, and we're just chill. And so we can make room at our table for the misfits and the weirdos and the lonely people, and that's how we roll. Not everybody's going to be okay with that. There's going to be people who are a little more proper. They're going to get a little more freaked out. Everybody's really different, and their comfort level is going to be different depending on their experiences. And everybody's going to have a different calling in the world as a family and as an individual. For your family, or for you as an individual, you can locate what that thing is. It's probably something very unique to your family, but not so unique that it's unique in the world. It's unique to certain other families or certain other individuals. And so take a good hard look at what that thing could be, and then make a concerted effort to reach out to others. And you'll find that your table can be bigger. It can be more inclusive. It can be this thing where we journey together and we walk together. It's going to be hard, though, to get people to come to your table, because people get used to being isolated and busy and really, in a sense, alone in the world. And they get used to their loneliness, but they don't get used to that feeling, and they don't like it. So if you get a chance, make a lot of effort to bring people to your table. And when they see, after a few times, that it's good to be home, they'll come back again. And so with this, I give you a blessing, and I encourage you to try to make space at your table for someone else like you who's in the same sort of journey. And if you find that to be true and you go for it, I hope you'll let me know how you've done it and what you decided to do. I would love to hear how this has worked out for you in your life. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll join again on Friday to hear a guest interview, and come back again on Wednesday for another episode of Soul School. Blessings and peace to you, and may you be a spark in your world.